listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
My puss be yanking, got this nigga feeling hypnotized. Close your eyes, hold my thighs, nigga, enjoy this ride. I see that Magnum rapper, nigga, that's the perfect size. And you can hit it whenever, ain't got the fantasize. Like, look like you tired, so I suggest you pop a pill or two. Pill or two. You gotta keep up, then I make this thing do what it do. You think you want it, but you don't really want none. Ain't come to play, I just came to get the job done. Can't even lie, fuck better when I'm drinking. Ride dick like a pro, throw the pussy like I'm famous. Pussy feel so good, feel like the rubber off, ain't it? I ain't gotta tell me, cause this pussy be yanking. This pussy be yanking. This pussy be yanking. This pussy be yanking. I know this pussy be yanking. Hey, welcome to the Black Out Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday.
We are
the Lord's Day, bringing you Yank by Lady. Ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips on iTunes or Stitcher. What podcast will come up? Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. We haven't been getting a lot lately. We only got one in the last couple of weeks, I believe. And that's on Stitcher and iTunes.
I know. What is wrong with y'all?
And that's in all over the world. That's not just America, so I don't know if people just stop listening or they stop caring.
I know.
We need them 5-star reviews, guys. Make it worth our while.
I know. Why are we doing this show? We only doing it for the stars.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate it, guys.
We do.
But yeah, we can only appreciate it if you do it. Right. Also, the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
Unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
Bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Shadow Dog Productions is the maker of some fine handcrafted audio plays. Me and Karen have been on several. As a matter of fact, we have a couple albums. One is called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. And the other is called The Best of Rod and Karen. It couldn't be easier to find.
You can
get them on Apple, like Music. You can get them on Google Play. You can also catch them on Tidal and Spotify. Mm-hmm. Take the time out, listen, enjoy them, share them. We appreciate everybody that, that does that. So thank you so much. All right, let's get into the show. Who knows where to start? Okay, all kinds of stuff is happening, all kinds of things to talk about. Here's some breaking news that you guys probably were not aware of, probably were not ready to hear, to be honest. And I hate to do this to you guys early on a Sunday, especially considering this is a lot of people's show. It's the first show of the week that they're gonna get off to, so this could, you know, technically kind of ruin some people's nights but I gotta do it. Breaking news.
Get your paper together.
That's how they do. Fox News audience is almost exclusively white as the network faces backlash over immigration coverage.
Why did they pay for this?
Well, it's breaking news. I'm sure it's very shocking to most of you guys.
Mm-mm.
This is probably going to cause more turmoil than the return of Insecure tonight.
That come back tonight?
It does come back tonight. As does Fear the Walking Dead.
Everything come back tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do for this Fear the Walking Dead review. I guess we have to review it.
Oh, that's right.
And watch Insecure after we review it. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how we're gonna swing this, but we'll figure it out.
Oh yeah, but we'll figure out something.
At any rate though, Fox News audience, at least through 2018, because you know 2019 is gonna be the year they change everything, reportedly has been almost all white, barely picks up minority viewers from around the country. The revelation comes as the network deals with the blowback from recent comments by host Laura Ingraham on the nation's changing racial demographics. Over the last 8 months, Fox viewership has been 94% white, with Hispanics serving as the next highest racial demographic to watch at 3%.
Yeah.
3%.
Mm-hmm. Because of their proximity to whiteness, and some of them actually think that they're white.
Mm-hmm. 94% white, 3% Hispanic, 2% Asian, and 1% black. Of course, that being Jason Whitlock, Angry Hootie, the sheriff, Herman Cain, probably.
That's the whole 1%.
Yeah, it's like, it's, you know, Omarosa for until she got fired, you know.
Candace Owens.
Candace Owens may watch some. Kanye definitely watches at this point. So, I mean, look, I'm not surprised by these numbers, but apparently it's a revelation to other people. The report pointed to both Ingram's and fellow host Tucker Carlson's programs each primetime as often pandering to a white audience fearful of immigrants and minorities, and how Donald Trump has used that to stoke racial divisions as a means to energize Republican base. All things black people would have told you for free, 99.
Yeah, most anybody brown would have told you that shit.
Not that white people would have believed us.
Right. For some reason, when you get the statistic numbers, all of a sudden this shit makes sense. Why the fuck I gotta do statistics for you to 100?
That's happening all over the country. No nation, no society has ever changed as much as fast, said Carlson in March, according to CNN. Now, before you start calling anyone bigoted, consider and be honest, how would you feel if that happened in your neighborhood?
They are bigoted and fucking racist. What are we talking about here? I'm not debating this with you.
Let me tell you something. The reason that you might feel a way about that in your neighborhood is because of your bigotry. If you saw more black or brown people or people outside of the country coming into the country and not doing crimes or anything, just living, and you decided that that made them criminals or you wanted them to leave the country, maybe you're a xenophobe. Maybe you're racist, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe it has nothing to do with us all feeling that way, you know. There's a difference between like coming to a neighborhood and pricing everyone out or taking over, but white people have historically in this country been fearful of non-white people moving into their vicinity no matter what.
Right.
You know, it's one of the reasons, like, we talk about school segregation and stuff, but schools kind of remain segregated mostly because white people keep leaving anytime there's any level of brown or black people moving into an area. White people just, it's called white flight. There's a term for it.
Yeah, the ones that I left are the ones that can't afford to leave.
Right. So, yeah, it's not, yeah, it might not just, it might be you. It might not be a universal, well, you guys, you know, it's a, anyone would feel this way. Ingram recently faced significant backlash for her comments Wednesday evening, because in some parts of the country it does seem like the America we know and love doesn't exist anymore. Massive demographic changes have been foisted upon the American people, and American meaning white, and they're changes that none of us ever voted for and most of us don't like. None of us voted for these changes. None. From Virginia to California, like, you have to be talking about white people because there's one party that is completely dedicated to whiteness. There's one party that is only dedicated to whiteness as a sole focus, and that's the Conservative Party. That's the Republican Party. So when you say none of us voted for this, you are saying, I'm talking to Republicans, we're the only ones who did not vote in any level to deal with this. Yeah, from Virginia to California, we see stark examples of how radically in some ways the country has changed. Now, much of this is related to both illegal and legal immigration that, of course, progressives love. So yeah, she's only talking to Republicans and conservatives. How can you, as a conservative or a Republican, not look at that and say, I'm in a group identified with racists? How can you not? You know, this is the myth of the good Republican, the good Fox News viewer, the good Trump supporter. Like, it's the myth of these people that I'm supposed to believe in, but here's your spokesperson speaking up for you on the most popular show on their network, and the most popular network for news for, well, white Republican people. You know, it's funny, I just posted this article. I didn't even put any commentary on it. Fox News audience is almost exclusively white, according to a new report. And this white dude got super fragile on my Facebook page. I had to get rid of him. And it's somebody that a lot of people know. If they go back to Bomani Jones, the Morning Jones, I don't know if people remember Joe and Riley, but that dude was on my page acting the whole fucking fool this morning. And I'm like, dude, you never talk to me about anything. Like, it's bad enough you're a Duke fan, you know, but I tolerate that. My father's a Duke fan, and I've learned to adjust to you know, having to deal with that type of slander around my house. But you know, it was mostly people just making jokes that were like, I can't believe it, I'm shocked, this is my shock face. But you know, because we're not shocked, because we live in America, we know what Fox News stands for, we know what they talk about, we know what they tolerate over there. And it's basically a white male patriarchal view of the world, and conservatism and racism and shit and bigotry and xenophobia and misogyny. Like, they traffic in that and they call it news, and anybody that spends all day watching that shit is basically complicit, you know. So to me, I'm like, okay, not a big deal, post this, I'll go. All of a sudden I start seeing, you know, shit from him pop up on my page, and it's, people are starting to comment, which is when you start getting all these notifications. Mm-hmm. How can they possibly know that? I think he meant they. And then of course we were like, Nielsen ratings, the same way they know everything.
Right.
And then he was like, those have been proven to be inaccurate. Okay, but dog, you telling me you think a bunch of black and brown people are watching fucking Fox News all day?
Come on.
Like, the only black and brown people that watch Fox News for some like other shit is like old black people that be on some like, you gotta watch them so you know what they planning to do for you, you know.
Yeah,
that
black people, but I don't watch it at all.
But it, yeah, don't be, you know, but it's not no whole lot of people. It's like three black people in America watching just to keep their fingers on the pulse of what these white folks is up to. But it's nothing on there is for us. Mm-mm. So then he said, how can you have an honest and productive conversation about race when your first statement is all white and black people feel the exact same about every issue because they're white or black? Wrong there, by the way. Also, nobody said that. The article doesn't say that. I didn't say that.
The article says that
no one commented on this said it.
Based off of the people that listened, this was the end results. And it didn't even say all white people. It just said the audience base is about 97% white. All white people ain't watching that, obviously. Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, nobody said anything about how people felt.
Nope.
We just said the article, everything I read and everything people said was basically, yeah, okay, yeah, white people like Fox News. That's not surprising
at all.
And they don't really try to appeal to anyone else, so why would anyone else really watch them?
Come on.
And somebody responded, I'm trying to figure out where the statement came from because nobody in this conversation said that. He said, they are trying to say that all white people think the same way. She said, literally nobody said that. And then he goes, this is what the story is saying without saying it. Okay, so now the story is
implying something.
Right. No, you know what it is? Your rational brain is implying something. Your brain says if 94% of one race of people watch something, and that makes up most of the viewership of this stump something, those people probably think similarly. And you want your white individuality. But the problem is, it said Fox viewers. If you're not watching this shit, why would you be worried about it? Right? Why would you be worried about how people feel about the people that watch this shit? If you don't support Trump, why are you worried about how people feel about Trump supporters, you know? Anyway, and now it's like, the story points out the fact that white people make up most of Fox News viewership. If that is making you feel some kind of way, you should reevaluate yourself. Then he also posted, and this, I hate when people do this, posted like 3-4 comments on my shit. Like, just keep it in one thread, bro. But he posted another one. If your statement is anyone who supports Trump is a racist, you lose me from the jump. As if I want to have you, right? What if you voted for Trump because you're pro-life? Wrong your, by the way. Just not a good showing for his grammar or spelling or using the right words for certain shit. And I was like, you know, there's black people that are pro-life. How come Trump didn't get a significant portion of the black vote, the black religious vote? I was like, what is the difference? And he couldn't explain that. And I said, if you support Trump, you are a racist or someone who doesn't care enough about racism to stand against Trump. The end. This is the thing. The humanity of whiteness is never in doubt. Mm-mm. They can always be redeemed. There's no action they can take that where I'm supposed to be like, yo, fuck that person forever, that person I don't want to be around me. I have to see the good in every kind of white person, whether they be the Ku Klux Klan, whether they be a politician who has racist views, who was in office and enacting those views, whether it be a rapist, whether it be a fucking murderer. Somehow I have to see the goodness in them and forgive them and let the shit go every fucking time. I don't even get time to process or be upset. Trump's administration is currently on a warpath, and I'm not even allowed to say the people that enabled this are not my friends. They are fucked up, and I don't want them around me.
Mm-mm.
I'm wrong for that, you know. And he goes on to say some shit about, like, you know, so you try, you know, the typical shit that white people say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you telling me it's this nation is racist? I mean, they voted for Obama, and then because they switched their votes to Trump, that's racist. It's Hillary's fault. It's some, everything except racist white people support Trump, and his approval ratings among those racist white people will always be fair and positive and favorable because they fucking love his policies. They don't have mm-hmm. any reason. Nobody's even crying foul about being bamboozled by this man,
because he's doing exactly what that he promised them that he would do.
I'll take it one step further. He's going against things he said he would do in every area except racism and xenophobia,
right?
And no one's mad. Where are the Republicans who are upset about his spending that he promised? I'm gonna run it like a business. Where are these people at? Where are the Republicans upset with what he's doing with these tariffs and hurting American businesses? And now he has to give $12 billion to farmers, which they, you know, they would hate to see a government hand out to anybody.
White farmers.
Right. But even with them, though, where is the outrage, is my point. Because that it was about the principle of it. Where was all the drain the swamp people? He keeps bringing in crony after crony, and more people are finding out they're corrupt. These people he didn't vet, these people he hired that abused the system, that took money so in such a haphazard way that they stole. They're on trial now. Like, this isn't like when someone fleeces the system and then 10 years later you find out, oh, this guy was getting illegal donations and we looked into it and now he's going to court. They're finding these people that have, it hasn't been 2 years yet, and they're already people within his administration on trial.
Or have been on trial.
That's what I'm saying. They're on trial right now. They've been on trial. People getting convicted of shit. Already. People have to resign because they get caught stealing stuff. People are walking in, getting their cronies and getting their lobbies, like the pet interest that they have. They're getting money and access for these people and then quitting the job. Cause they like, oh, my job's done here. Rex Tillerson is like, okay, I got, okay, bye, peace.
Mm-hmm, that was all, some of them, that was the whole purpose for some of them.
Right. And if I say that knowing that his policies are anti everything he talked about, they're anti everything his voters claim to be about. Cause the voters are like, listen, I'm just pro-life. Well, he's not. He's not. So now what? He's not a Christian. This isn't a religious man. So, man, we're talking about fucking porn stars. What are you talking about? So I have to watch this. And the only reason we even entertain the statements I just said that come from his people that talk about why they voted for him is because those people are white. Because they're white, I'm not allowed to say they're racist and they just voted for a racist. And I don't care what their excuse is.
Right. And I don't want to hear it.
Right. I can't say that because I have to consider each and every one of their delicate fucking feelings and say, how can I say this in the kindest, nicest way possible that allows you to keep some level of your dignity and some level of your keep your complicity out of it and be like, no. You're just, the economy is just so bad. You just, like, the economy ain't been bad for black people my whole life. Like we don't have a much harder time getting jobs, staying out of prison, being killed by the police. Like my life ain't hard, but I gotta feel bad for a fucking coal miner, or else I can't have a discussion about politics, because the white people in the room have to have their feelings played in there first. It incenses me, and it's specifically because it's all bullshit. It's all theater. This country's a racist country. The people that support Trump are racist, and if they're not racist, there's something worse than a racist, which is a person who will go along with a racist and put a racist in power to get their thing done. To me, that's unconscionable. That is, you cannot look in my eyes as a fellow American and tell me you respect me, that there's any level of conversation or debate that we can have. When we started the idea of, I will put a racist in charge of the country if it'll help me get a pro-life agenda, quote unquote. If it'll help me what I believe is right for foreign policy, then I'm willing to let a racist take over. Well, goddamn it, I don't want to fuck with you. You know, so that's the last conversation me and him will ever have, you know. Specifically because also there's so much research out there that's just literally like, yo, racism won the election. People voted for this dude because he's racist. No, all these we keep doing these studies and polls and surveys. We keep talking to these people. We keep going, well, he did this and it's fucking up these jobs that you claim that you wanted. You're not going to get that job back. The coal's not coming back. And the person's like, I still like President Trump. And the fake news is that, and they're like, oh, it's just the racism. The one thing he's consistent on. So yeah, man, that shit was real corny. And I was just like, get off my page. But it's amazing to see that we're still going through this. And Fox News is the one trotting a lot of this shit out. So that's why they have such a high rate of viewership of white people. Cause the white people who are racist need to be fed the same racist bullshit back to them and confirm it over and over and over and over again. It's confirmation bias every time. It's not you that's wrong. It's America that's wrong. It's the media that's wrong. It's these black people that's wrong. Everyone's wrong except for you. The race that enslaved people, the race that betrayed England and stole this country, the race that killed the indigenous people of America. Everyone's wrong but you. You know, that propaganda shit is so real and it really works, man. It's sad to see, really. You know what I mean? But like that shit just, I was like, I read this, I was like, no one should be shocked by this news. And then boom, somebody is acting all fragile. And I thought I got all the fragile people off my fucking, out of my life. Cause I don't deal with that. Like, you feeling a way about me saying that Trump is a racist and his supporters are racist? Why don't you go up there to Charlottesville and take it up with them racist people?
Come on.
Why don't you go stand on the front lines and fight for my rights then, nigga? Rather than tell me what I need to do. I'm not gonna be nice about this.
Mm-mm.
Sick of this shit. Let's see what else is happening, guys. All kinds of news. Phone calls from New York City jails will soon be free.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's about fucking time. Like, we privatized prison means privatized shit like visitation. Talking to the things that actually curb recidivism and stop people from going back to prison.
Right.
Are now luxury items in prison.
It's the shit they cutting.
Yeah, it's basically the new commissary is, oh, you want to Skype your family? Okay, we're going to charge you $10 a minute.
And we're not even going to invest the money to be sure the shit works properly. None of that shit. We're going to half-ass it. And you're like, well, like you said, the thing that keeps people, when they get out, from coming back is interacting with family, interacting with friends. Because a lot of times when people go to jails, particularly certain types of jail, they're out of the state. They're hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles away from their families. So the few times a year or the few visits they get, they want to fucking see them.
Right. So it's wild because they were collecting $5 million a year from calls made by incarcerated people to their families. And like I said, keep in mind, talking to your family is one of the biggest factors in people being able to readjust to life outside of prison and not return.
Right.
And it's in the prison, the privatized prison industry's interest if they can make sure these people return to prison.
Right.
So why would we want them in charge of a public situation like incarceration? We have all decided that there are certain things that actions people take in America where they need a timeout, quote unquote. Right? We've decided that. But because we're puritanical as a country, we need them punished and to feel bad and to suffer. And once someone goes into prison or they're labeled a criminal, we lose a lot of the empathy that we typically have in society for people.
Yes, we do.
You know, unless they get good at sports or they're famous or something or they're white, we typically go criminal, criminal, criminal. You deserve the worst. Right?
Right. And then when you get out, we go, we're going to punish you forever. Mm-hmm. So when you get a job, you have to check these boxes. And some, I know some states are getting rid of that shit, but you got to check these boxes. So then that mean that shit flag. And once it flags, you might have a legit reason. You might, you know, got some shit. They don't give a fuck. You check the box. That's all that matters. Or they'll do shit like embarrass you, explain it, and then be like, well, I'm still not hiring you anyway. So it's like, it's almost like you're getting punished forever just for a mistake.
Yeah.
For some people.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's also something that has a racial effect in our society, because white dudes with a record have as high a chance of getting a job as like a black person with a college degree.
Right.
So like it's all like the it just rigs the shit even further. So yeah, it's
because they'll be willing to work with you. They'll be willing to give you another chance. They'll be like, well, I see this, and because they see the humanity in you. But for brown people, you don't see any humanity, and then and that's very frustrating.
Unfortunately, the city has been profiting from some of the poorest and most vulnerable New Yorkers for years. Corey Johnson, the city council speaker and sponsor of the bill, said in a statement, thankfully, this is now going to stop. Prisons rights groups say making calls free is fundamentally about fairness. About 3/4 of people in the city's jail have not been convicted of a crime. Mm-hmm. Remember, they can hold you in jail and say you need to spend this much money to get out of jail. Now I've been in jail for 3, 6, 8, 10 months. And I never had the money, and I'm only accused of a crime. I haven't done anything. And yeah, I can be in there, and then they go, you want to talk to your family? Yeah, that'd be $50. Well, I didn't do anything. And now you're charging me to get in contact with the people I love. Keep in mind, I probably don't have a job anymore if I'm in here this long.
I probably lost where I stayed. I probably lost my vehicles, or any other thing that's happening here. And the thing is, the bail system, we don't need bails. You know, there's some things that you do need bail.
Yeah, we don't need cash bail for the vast majority of crimes, especially nonviolent offenses.
Right. And they need to look at your income and go, well, you can't afford it. Why are we going to charge you bail?
Right. Now, keep in mind also, it doesn't discriminate and just say, well, only your family is who you charge to talk to. I'm charged to talk to my lawyer.
What?
Yeah, if I want to talk to my lawyer via the phone, I have to pay a certain amount of money to talk to my lawyer. So now this whole, like, you have the right to a defender and do I really? Because it sounds like if I have money, I have the right to a defense, talk to my attorney and stuff, to make my one phone call or whatever fuck. But if I'm not, then I don't have a right. Currently, calls from Rikers Island cost 50 cents for the first minute and 5 cents for each additional minute, to local numbers. There are 26,000 calls from the city jail every day that generate more than $20,000 in daily revenue. Something they weren't even considering charging for, that was a public right, you know, to the accused, to the incarcerated, to the convicted. And now it's, pay to play. So, yeah, I'm glad they got rid of it. You know, of course, there's still opposition to it. Corrections officers are like, now the gang people gonna call outside the jail to talk to other gang members. Now they're gonna be able to run things outside. They'll definitely be able to communicate, free of charge to other members of their gangs who may not be in jail. This is just one more nail in the coffin of creating safer jails, to be honest with you, he said. Keep in mind, if they had money, then they would be able to pay to talk to the gang members outside of the jail. So what was really changing?
Right. Y'all just didn't want no outside communication. Let's just keep that real.
Yeah, but no, they did. No. They didn't mind outside communication. Just wanted you to pay for it.
But yeah, if I'm a gang member and I got money, like, I'm able to pay.
If I'm a gang member and I'm running things from prison, I got the 55 cents to call and say, kill this dude.
Yes, I do.
The fuck are you talking about? This it's ridiculous.
I got it.
Right. So yeah, like, do you think they just kicking it? Like, it's not like I'm the gang member and I'm calling to run gang operations and I need to talk to you for 30 minutes about, you know, how was recital for your daughter at the dance studio tonight. I'm just calling you and being like, yeah, kill Jones. Bye.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
A 3-minute conversation. Yeah. That long.
Fuck out of here. Anyway, good for New York City. Papa John's reportedly considered hiring Kanye West as a spokesperson with Papa John the pizza chain before the N-word conference call, for, you know, before the backlash of that.
Still been gonna go back. He had his issues too.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand what Kanye West hugging up to John Schnatter in a commercial was supposed, what was I supposed to get from that, even if he would have never said the N word?
Nothing.
Guess why he ended up saying that they couldn't use Kanye West? Because the ad agency was like, maybe we can get Kanye West, and he said no. Papa John said, I don't want him.
Yeah, I understand.
Why do you think he said no? What do you think his reasoning was?
Oh, he not doing that with no black person. Mm-mm.
That was not his reason. His exact wording was, because he uses the N-word in his lyrics.
Word.
Word. Because now Kanye
you
West,
know Kanye is there. The Kanye never got hired anyway, but you gone.
Mm-hmm. Baby, I hear you tapping your foot on something.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
It's all right, but yeah, Kanye says "nigger" in his lyrics too much, and that offended John Schnatter's sensibilities. I guess because he wasn't Colonel Sanders.
Duh.
I guess.
You come down a knot and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation is ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
And Karen, you were right. They had started putting him back on TV in these ads.
Mm-hmm.
Before this latest controversy.
Mm-hmm, because
and they had even considered using him in ads again. Baby, are you still doing it? What's going on?
I'm sorry. I didn't, my bad.
That, but they had considered using him in ads again. Because, you know, like, oh, the controversy died down. We can start putting him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he claimed he had stepped down from the board or whatever, he still was, from chairman, he still was on that board.
Mm-hmm.
And then the N-word shit started and they said no.
Right, because like I said, I actually paid attention to a lot of those Papa John commercials, because right after he said that shit and they lost their even kind of before they lost their contract with the NFL, I noticed that Peyton Manning had stopped, like, mm-hmm. a while ago. Peyton Manning just had just stopped, because it would just be him and some form of him and Peyton Manning doing something. And then I realized for about over a year, maybe a year and a half, I know at least a year, all their commercials were just sales. It was no spokesperson, it was somebody talking and just pizza going down. Here's our such pizza for $6.99. Here's our, you know, get the works, whatever. Like, that was all you see. You would see no person. Then all of a sudden, when I started watching the commercials, I started seeing his face. So I was like, oh, okay, time must have passed. Mm-hmm. And you trying to come back, but like we were talking about before, because your name is Papa John's, people associate you with it. So when you fucked up, people's like, oh, he got to go.
Yeah, on Tuesday, John Papa John's executive said that they were searching for ways to cut back on his role as the public face of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Since he blamed Papa John's sales slump on the NFL's response to players' protests during the national anthem. On the marketing front, the research and analysis we conducted after the NFL comments by our founder in November 2017 have made it clear that we needed to move away from founder-centric marketing plan.
Right.
Schnatter did not take kindly to the suggestion that he co-starred commercials with Kanye West. In his letter to the board, he says he told Laundry Service that West couldn't be a Papa John's spokesperson because he used the N-word in his lyrics. Why didn't he just say nigger, though, like he did when he said, Colonel Sanders?
Right,
that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, it was, I gotta say two things. One, a lot of leaks coming out of there makes me wonder who's leaking it. I used to think it was the
the firm.
I think
it's people from Papa John's. I don't think it's him.
Okay.
I don't think it's him.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That
I think it's
sense.
People from Papa John's that are leaking this shit to make him look bad. Because the N-word controversy of the things he said was probably the least offensive thing to me.
Right.
Because basically he said the word nigger and people lost their minds, but in the context in which he used it, it wasn't even that fucked up.
Mm-mm.
No offense to those who, but I just already didn't like him, so I'm not trying to save this man.
Mm-mm.
Then this Kanye West thing, I agree with him. He had no fucking business putting Kanye West in a goddamn Papa John's ad. It was only gonna make shit worse. If you think motherfuckers that are mad about the protest and his comments about the protest, we're gonna see Kanye West black ass in a motherfucking, what? If you think they were gonna see his Nino Brown from the Sylvester Stallone movie, what was the name of that movie where he went to the future and he got frozen and Wesley Snipes?
Demolition Man.
Yeah. If you think they was gonna see this Demolition Man looking nigga and let this shit slide? Are you serious? You know that shit was gonna look like the motherfucking the same imagery of the night Kanye said George Bush doesn't care about black people, because he's gonna be sitting there right next to Papa John with his arm around him, the same way that Michael Myers was looking like, oh, what do I say? That was never gonna work. That was a dumbass idea. I'm now looking at laundry service like, are y'all sure y'all good at cleaning up messes? Because those are two horrible ideas. Maybe we get Kanye West in the ad. For what? Mm-hmm. Who the fuck wanna buy Kanye West pizza?
I don't.
It's gonna be served in a cotton box like his clothes. Like, get the fuck out of here. Ridiculous. That's a ridiculous idea. Everybody should get fired, not just him. The laundry service people need to get fired. He need to be fired. Kanye West need to be fired.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have bought the pizza.
Oh my God. Let's talk about other stuff, guys. Tamron Hall inks a deal with Disney/ABC, and is developing a new daytime talk show. Secure the bag, sis. Tamron got that muscle, man. You know, they got rid of her from Megyn Kelly to make room. And everybody was like, this is a horrible idea. Tamron's actually good at this. Megan's not. Megan has been an abject failure at all her daytime talk show shit.
Right.
She can't even create buzz unless she's doing something mean and inappropriate. And then when she does create buzz, it's mostly about how bad her ratings are and how stupid she looks.
Right. So they end up bumping her off. And basically, she should have been a much better person in that daytime spot.
Yeah, she got that muscle. Like, you know, she just knows how to grin and smile and sell whatever the fuck they are selling you. It's an underrated part of that job. Nobody ever talks about it. Everybody thinks everyone can do it. Oh, we just put this kind of famous person in this role.
Mm-mm.
It's hard to look in the camera, smile, and make people at home feel welcomed and warmed and excited about you drinking coffee, or you talking to someone who's coming to sell a book, or you eating tacos because that someone makes fresh on the air at 7 a.m.
Come on.
You know, while also requiring you to look like you've never eaten a taco or a carb in your life. And Tamron Hall was doing that shit. She was walking that walk. When she got let go, I still remember people, I was on, like, look at her Twitter and her, like, she's still on Instagram being happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, look, I'm in my Christmas pajamas and I'm getting a tree or something. It's like,
right, because she was like, oh, I'm gonna be all
right. Right. Like, Coley would have understood that she would turn around and been like, man, listen, fuck these white people. She could have just did a whole Instagram live with her hair wrapped up, sipping on some brandy, telling the real tea. And nah, she didn't. But yeah, she's right back.
And I guarantee you, it's probably gonna be around the same fucking time, and the rating's gonna be so.
Her and Al Roker, I got removed from the 9 a.m. hour of NBC's Today from Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
But now she will be the co-host. She's working on a daytime talk show that she'll be, hosting. So yeah, good for her. And it'll be on ABC this time. So I hope it come on at the same exact time.
That's what I said.
I do. Cause I'll watch that. I'll put it on my TV in the morning just to have it on there for her. Just take my ratings, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Airbnb to cancel reservations and remove participants of upcoming white supremacist rally from its platform due to conflict of ethics. The anniversary of the Unite the Right rally is set to take place this upcoming weekend, and Airbnb's making it clear they don't want no parts. For a second consecutive year, Airbnb has warned participants that if they are found to be in violation of the company's policies, their reservations can and will be canceled. The protest, which began in 2017, is led by self-proclaimed white supremacists who took part in a violent event as a means to protect a Confederate statue and preserve white culture. Participants marched with torches and an army of guns, physically assaulted those who stood up against them, all while chanting neo-Nazi slang. And Airbnb said, man, not on our property. Get the fuck out. Well, good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah. It's better than a lot of platforms these days. Twitter and Facebook and shit. Virginia governor. Yeah,
they always claim free speech for everything.
Free speech. Virginia governor.
Free speech unless you go against the people that we want to have free speech. Everybody else don't get no free speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know more people dealing with bans and being like, I think I got kicked off and my account, where did this account go? Where, how come so-and-so ain't on Twitter no more? I mean, meanwhile, Alex Jones is still on Twitter cooking. No problem. No, he didn't violate any rules. The term of service. Then people go and investigate and say, actually, we spoke to Twitter after we did some investigation. He has definitely violated your terms of service. And Twitter basically goes, we don't care.
Well, they don't care about nobody then.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to be fun. If it's mm-hmm. going to be a free, don't give a fuck about nobody then.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be banning certain people.
Yeah, not picking a side is picking a side.
It is.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, ahead of the Charlottesville like anniversary, declared a state of emergency. And basically got a whole lot of police down there now.
Which is what the fuck they should have did the first time. Because
well, they had police down there the first time.
No.
But they protected a lot of white supremacists.
Yes, I was listening to NPR and they did studies and they was talking about last year and they was saying when everything happened, they was like the police should have stepped in before it got to this point, should have called for backup. This shit they doing now is what they should did the first time, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. And so their thing was, we're not going to step in until it gets out of control. But once it got out of control, it was too fucking late and then it was just chaos everywhere. Mm-hmm. And once that chaos was everywhere, the police came in and the police literally protected the white supremacy people, the people that marched their asses into the city to start shit up and then didn't want no counter protesting.
Yeah, Virginia continues to mourn the three Virginians who lost their lives in the course of the demonstrations a year ago. We hope the anniversary of those events passes peacefully. Three people lost their lives? I don't know why I thought it was one. I did not know three people lost their lives during this.
I know
we all know Heather Heyer died, because
right? And
that's
then
the
one. I want to say the other two, was it a plane crash or something? I might be wrong. Nope. I don't know who the other two were.
Yeah, maybe it was a helicopter crash or something.
I'm not mistaken. I think it was. Not sure.
Yeah. I can't remember the other. I know her for sure. Cause it was like the biggest deal. Her face was everywhere and all that stuff. I just don't remember how the other two people died.
Mm-mm.
2017 event in Charlottesville stemmed from a gathering of white nationalists, alt-right supporters who formed a Unite the Right rally. The outward purpose of the rally was to protest the city's plan to remove a statue of General Robert E. Lee, who led the Confederate Army during the Civil War. Now, why would racist white people who are self-proclaimed white supremacists be so gung-ho about preserving Confederate memorabilia in 2018? But you don't want to believe that the Confederate flag is a racist symbol. You don't want me to believe the Confederate war was a racist war. You don't want me to believe that the Southern Army was fighting about slavery and the inferiority of black people. And yet white supremacists overtly tell you they believe in the inferiority of black people. Why are these two people, why are these two causes so connected, but I'm supposed to view them as separate? As one is a glorious sacrifice and a battle of war between brothers, and the other one is white supremacists in 2018. I don't understand. Explain. They declared a state of emergency, which is wild, right? Because, like, racism made a state of emergency. Right. I guess it was, it says state troopers died.
Okay. I remember it was a helicopter crash.
That's what it was. Okay. All right. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on. Let's see what else happened. New data makes it clear that non-voters handed Trump the presidency. This is in the Washington Post. I mean, duh, kinda.
No shit.
I mean, white people were going white, so you knew they was going to vote for some racist shit. That wasn't really that unexpected. People stay in their ass home like the Russians told them to, and like Donald Trump paid black people to tell other black people to do. What was their excuse? You know? It's like that thing where like I like people. I want to like people. I try to stay out of their personal politics to a certain extent. If they leave me the fuck alone, I'll leave them alone. But I cannot pretend that it was not stupid for a lot of people to say I'm not voting, or I'm gonna throw my vote away, third party that claim to be like woke and liberal and shit. I mean, it's the exact opposite of all the goals you said you wanted. I mean, all this shit is on you too. I mean, you did help enable this shit, you know?
Right.
Like, you can try to spin it some type of way where you're not complicit, but that's your guilty conscience talking, because while white people are more complicit, you ain't exactly help. You know, if you're not useful, you're useless. And a lot of people was useless when it came to this shit, and that's why they quiet now. But yeah, you know, I'm not surprised that at the end of the day, because people always go, why y'all so upset about people that didn't vote or people that voted third party and shit? This is why. It's because it was an all hands on deck situation. So you look at the people that claim to be understanding of the plight of everyone,
mm-hmm.
and then go, well, what are we going to do to try to mitigate the harm that can be done in the name of this country? And then they go, that's too much.
That ain't that important.
Like, whatever. You're not going to make me get involved. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that shit. It's like, to me, what it's like is if you walked outside and you saw someone attacking me, and then you went, it's wrong that he's being attacked like that, but I'm not gonna help, you know, like I'm not gonna try to stop the attack. I'm not gonna call anyone to help. I'm not gonna say, hey, leave me. I'm not gonna do that. What I'm gonna do is just go, it's a damn shame, too bad there's nothing I can do to help. I think the best thing I can do to help is not get involved. That's how it feels. So yes, I got my ass whooped by this one person, but it's not like I'm cool with you after this either. Like we y'all both not cool to me. That's the best analogy I have for it. It's like, well, to me, it's like both of y'all are kind of fucked up. What is one more fucked up? Yes, that dude did not need to say whoop my ass because I'm a nigger. You didn't need to say it's wrong he whooped my ass because I'm a nigger and tell me how these things need to stop, but then when it came to it, you played the sideline. It's kind of hard for me to trust you.
Yeah, no choice is a choice.
Right. And everybody with more stake in the game, you know, was closer to voting. You know what I mean? Like, women voted at a higher rate than men. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody with more shit in the game, that leaned a certain way, you know, bigger chance that they would take some time out to vote, man. But you know, a lot of people didn't get the memo, man. And the same way Russian bots and Russia paid for black people not to vote, and the Blacks for Bernie dude say he literally got paid to keep black people from voting. If I couldn't get them to vote for Trump, I would basically try to encourage them to stay home and say how inadequate Hillary Clinton was. Hey man, shit worked. So now what we gonna do? Because I feel like it's going to happen again with the way people are talking. Don't see a lot of people being like, yeah, man, I don't want to go through the 4 more years of this.
No.
I see a lot of, why y'all got to blame me? As opposed to, you know what, dog? I'm going to take my ass out there and vote because this shit apparently is serious.
Nah, like I said, until proven otherwise, Trump is getting a second election because nothing has changed. No behaviors have changed. No patterns have changed. I do not see people actually really a lot of Democrats. There are some, but not on a national, not to the point where it should be, where we're talking about voter suppression, we're talking about states' rights and people requiring birth certificates and driver's license. Like, this ought to be something that people are yelling from the top of their lungs when it comes to this shit. Like, where are you people? Like, I know there are some people out here fighting and they're out here grinding. But, you know, who I hear the most? The person that's not even fucking running for office, President Obama. That's who I hear that's what I think about, you know, when I think about these things, you know, because other people are doing it, but it's not being pushed in your face. It's not a forefront. It's not like, hey, y'all, we don't want the shit to repeat itself. It's like everybody just looking, everybody just want to get reelected. And so it's like, well, I'm not going to do anything to rock the boat, whatever it takes, and whatever it's going to take, whatever it takes, you're really not willing to do. And history's going to repeat itself. So I'm expecting him to win again unless proven otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, for all the people that claim that they were going to be activated by the idea of Trump having a administration and they were going to get out in these streets, I don't see them really doing much. And what were they supposed to do? You encourage people not to vote. Now you're going to come back and be like, okay, I'm going to organize and get in the streets. Okay, what are you going to get in the streets and do? Because the only thing really right now to get in the streets and do is to register people to vote and to get people's IDs and shit so that they don't get surprised in November when they show up at the polls and get told some bullshit. You know?
Yeah, I don't know the law. And, you know, like when we were voting that one time, that dude fucking telling, well, you got to have your ID. That black man, no, you don't. You ain't got to have your ID, because he know what the fuck he was talking about.
Right. Not to mention, they are actively purging people from voter rolls. Like,
yes, they are.
Republicans are organized on this front. And like I said, a lot of the organizers, and I'll just say the rest of how I feel, but I don't want to do the same rant. But just the general thing is, I don't know how I'm supposed to trust your ass either.
No, and truthfully, I don't. And I think that, and like I said, people can feel the way they want to feel, but I have the right to look at you sideways. I have the right to say that it's not all your fault, but you played a role in it. I have the right to say that. You're not blameless.
Yeah, you didn't help me fight. I put it that way. You know, and it's hard to look at you and not be like, I'm like, now I'm looking at people and their political stances like, I know you not paid for or bought by Russia at this point. Like, the way you talking, I mean, shit, it ain't that much different than the fake activist accounts that they created and shit.
Mm-mm. You sound the same.
Same sound bite, same format. Who copying who at this point? You know? And how is your goal different from theirs? I'm trying to understand the logic. Right. Anyway, the EPA is now allowing asbestos back into manufacturing. Because fuck everything, right? This administration is like, we dialing back. We want to make America great again. When was America great? When we could put asbestos in shit.
And children were dying.
Oh, you gonna bring up that shit? America was great then, though.
Children were dying. This shit was in paint. This shit was in toys. What the fuck are we talking about here?
According to Fast Company, the EPA's recently released report detailing its new framework for evaluating the risk of its top prioritized substances states that the agency will no longer consider the effect or presence of substances in the air, ground, or water in its risk assessments.
What the fuck? What's your purpose then? Why are you here? Why are you here?
This is the EPA that Trump wanted. This is the EPA that was completely up for grabs, completely in the air and on the ballot in 2016.
Why are you here? You're pointless. You're fucking pointless.
We're basically gonna be living in the Lorax at some point.
Yeah, and what's gonna happen is that it's gonna be a repeat of what it was before. A lot of these paints, you were painting low income houses, you were painting black people's houses with, the children were having learning disabilities and behavior problems and getting sick and dying early and all this shit, you know, and shit like that. And everybody was like, no, it's not a problem. Years later, they do a study test and pull all these statistics and people go, oh, that was kind of fucked up, we might want to ban it. But they didn't really ban until white children started dying from it. That's when it, you know, all of a sudden it became an issue. Why are you bringing something back that is known to fucking kill people? That's because you don't give a fuck about the general population.
There are still ads on TV that are those like, ambulance chaser lawyers that are like, if you suffer from mesothelioma or lung cancer, call this number. We will help sue and get you. And I'm like, that's on TV because of asbestos. That's why it's on TV. Why are you gonna then be like, well, we need to stop restricting that? In 1976, they had the Toxic Substances Control Act. It requires the agency to continually reevaluate hundreds of potentially toxic chemicals in lieu of removing them from the market or placing new restrictions on their use. But even though most countries banned it in the 1970s, the U.S. severely restricted it without making it, you know, banned or illegal. And basically, Trump's administration, EPA, is like, bring it all the way back. It's no longer considered toxic. So yeah, this is on the ballot. All right, let's see what else I want to talk about. Let's do some emotional stuff. All right, I'll let you pick, Karen. A generationally perpetuated pattern: daughters do more chores than sons. Or an apology to my husband's ex-wife in 13 parts. Or I was kicked out of my best friend's bridal party.
Oh, I get to choose.
Of course. That's what I just said.
Lord have mercy. All the pressure's on me.
We have other days we can do the other topics. I'm just saying today, which one would you like to talk about?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't want to hear about the bridal party.
I knew it. That's why I already clicked on it. I was kicked out of my best friend's bridal party. Three women open up about being asked to resign as bridesmaids. This is from the delish.com by Hannah Smothers. In late July, the internet was gifted with an email written from a bride to be to a now former bridesmaid, Courtney Duffy. The bride wrote she no longer wanted Duffy to be in the bridal party and assured Duffy she held nothing against her and that they would still be friends. Duffy shared the email on Twitter and hosted JetBlue would refund the flights she bought for the wedding she no longer planned to attend, and her now deleted tweet quickly went viral. As it turns out, what happened to Duffy is far from an isolated experience. In the midst of all the mayhem of wedding planning, brides still managed to find time to kick their best friends out of bridal parties left and right. Here, three women who fell victim to a brutal bridesmaid dumping open up about their nightmarish experience. Oh my God.
This is why people are like, nope, not being in nobody's wedding. But they be like, don't want to be no bridesmaid.
My friend Liza and I grew up together they changed all the names, by the way, mm-hmm. from day one. Our parents were best friends before they had us. I got married really young in 1999 when I was 18 and Liza was 19. She was my maid of honor. And 2 years later, when she got engaged, she asked me to be hers. It was always assumed, and I, of course, said yes around the same time. First of all, y'all getting married. Y'all got married pretty young, too. 18 and 19.
Very young.
Or as you say, Liza when it was 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 18 and then, okay.
What, cool. 20?
21.
Yeah.
I realized I'd gotten married way too young and the relationship wasn't working. A couple of months after Liza had asked me to be the maid of honor, around summer 2001, I announced that I was getting divorced. She had gone dress shopping but didn't have bridesmaid gowns yet. Within a couple of weeks of me telling her about my divorce, Liza called and said I was no longer welcoming her wedding party because I didn't believe in the sacrament of marriage. Woo! Woo, Lord Jesus, girl. Ooh. That's a tough one. I don't want no divorced people dealing with my wedding, okay? Get out of here.
You don't want nobody there then, because shit. Because the most people that you meet that's married have been divorced.
I was shocked and in disbelief. It felt like I got punched in the gut. I was like, do I even know you? Yeah, what about the sanctity of friendship, nigga?
And what my marriage got to do with your fucking marriage?
Don't I just hold the flowers and stand next to you or some shit?
That's like, all I do.
I was shocked and in disbelief. It felt like I got punched in the gut. I was like, do I even know you? She's not even especially a religious person. So the fact that she used a phrase like the sacrament of marriage was disorienting. It felt like I lost my best friend. I mean, whether or not you want a divorce is always a hard process. And not only did I not have her support through this big life transition, I also got booted from her wedding. She replaced me with this party girlfriend she had temporarily. That hurt too. It felt like I was getting replaced by someone who wasn't even important to her. I didn't attend the ceremony, which was the following year, although a lot of my family did because Liza was really close with them. She and I spent the next 5 or 6 years estranged, which was hard. Because our parents lived next door to each other, I'd see her car, she'd see mine, but we didn't speak to or of each other. Yeah, that's wild too, because like, you can't be friends after that.
Bitch, kiss my ass.
Yeah, you like, she can't even do the like, well, I fucked up, da da da. Like, man, get the fuck out of my face, cuz. Like, what is this? Wow. A few years ago, I found out she was pregnant and reached out via email. I just wanted to break the ice, like, hey, I heard you're pregnant, congrats. She responded a few months later and was cordial. Months later. But we didn't really talk about her wedding. We live each 20 minutes apart and make plans to see each other maybe once a year. Caroline, 37.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just not built for that. Like, honestly, dog, we can never be friends again if you don't apologize for that bullshit. Dan, you know what you did, and you did it. Like, I'm not accusing you of something you didn't do. You did that shit. You crazy. Maddie and I met when I was in college as random roommates. We became close and did everything together. After we graduated, we moved to different states but texted regularly. A year after graduation, she told me she was engaged. I was of course super excited for her and was honored when she asked me to be a bridesmaid. My husband wasn't sure about my going to her bachelorette party in Central America at the time. Zika scares were rampant, but I told him she was my best friend, and I told her a long time ago that if she ever got married, I'd be there for her no matter what. First of all, Brazil, ooh, ain't that gotta be a little bit of up? That's money just on bachelorette party.
The flight there.
Yeah, like you, like that's a whole trip. I was interning at the time when I realized I didn't have the money for an international plane ticket. Oh, well, there you go. I mean, interning, dog, like,
that's why your husband's like, baby, I don't think you're gonna be able to go. Right. Your husband, you already knew you couldn't afford to go, actually.
He was trying to be nice with that Zika shit, but you know, he was really just looking at y'all checkbook, like, right. But baby, the numbers say, you know, no.
The numbers say, no, we ain't got passports. No, you can't go.
Maddie offered to buy it for me and said I could pay her back when I could. A few months ago, later, around the time my husband and I got married and around 2 months before my bachelorette party, I went to the hospital with a really bad panic attack from work-related stress. That's when I found out I was 2 months pregnant. I was shocked at first. I was worried about my mental health and financial situation, but I quickly became happy. I was 25 at the time. My husband was 31, and we were ready to start a family. I called Maddie the next day to tell her about my anxiety issues and was relieved when she said she suffered from it too. It made me feel less alone, but I held off telling her I was pregnant because I was nervous she would get mad at me. Oh, because like the dress or something? Why would someone be mad you were pregnant? Don't be pregnant at my wedding? Is that like a thing? Is that a thing people do?
I don't know. I don't, you know, funny. Yeah. No, I don't know.
At the time, she told me she hoped I wouldn't get pregnant until after her wedding. Oh. Because she said it's the only day of her life where she can get married and I could get pregnant after. Okay, is this a thing or is this just her thing? Because, you know, we don't really do weddings. So I don't, chat room, is this a thing? Is this a, are people like, if you and someone's bridal party, they can be like, well, bitch, don't show up pregnant. I know that much. You better not be toting a gut full of your husband walking, when I'm walking down the aisle. I won't see nothing but just skinny bitches everywhere, okay? No pregnancies.
Some people say it's a thing.
Wow, I did not know it was a thing.
Mm-mm.
Like, you really get to be a tyrant for a day on this shit. How do I tell a human being?
That stuff is real.
A human being, an entire person that lives 364 other days that are not my wedding, I get to tell them. Because, like, if I get, what? That's crazy. I'm sorry, that's just so crazy to me. I gave myself a few days to calm down before building up the courage to tell Maddie and tell her about the pregnancy. The first thing she said was it planned? I said no, but it was a great surprise. Then she said, how will you fit it to your bridesmaid dress? I said, we could get it altered. Then she said, what about the bachelorette party? How can you have fun if you can't drink? Oh my God. I thought maybe she was just stressed about the wedding. I told her, as long as I'm there, that's what counts. Congrats, I guess, she said. Congrats, I guess. I went to my doctor for a checkup a few days later. She asked if I was planning on taking any trips out the country. When I said yes, she highly recommended I skip it due to the threat of Zika.
Right.
Yeah, like, wasn't that the huge thing about getting, it was like really threatening to pregnant women?
Right.
I knew that then I had to tell Maddie and cancel my trip. The doctor wrote me a letter advising against travel. I took a picture as proof. Still, I waited 2 days to tell Maddie. I knew she'd be upset because it was her bachelorette party. She had paid for my ticket. Yeah, that's true. I apologized and told her I wish I could go, but I don't want to put my baby at risk. She wrote back, how convenient. Yo, her tone completely changed. Congrats, I guess. How convenient.
No, she didn't sound like she didn't want you there anyway.
Yo, honestly, this is my nightmare of why I hate weddings on the real, is because of the social capital of what this, like, pyramid scheme you get into.
Yeah,
you get to my wedding, now you gotta go to this wedding, and I went to that wedding.
Right.
You owe me a gift, and my gift cost this much, and your gift was that much, and your wedding cost this much, and the dress was too expensive, and you wanted me to fly here, and I had it seemed like a lot of social, like, shit that is beside the idea of, oh, two people are in love and we're celebrating that today.
Right, and people get mad when they left off the list. Bitch, I don't have unlimited money. There's some people ain't gonna make the list, but some people feel offended, they feel mad. And somebody was saying they heard the skinny thing. Nope, some people tell people don't cut their hair. And I was like, yeah, this is why I'm like, nope. Most people don't invite me to weddings anyway, but right. I'm not being nobody's bridal party.
I gotta sit you a certain place. I gotta get certain food because you had certain food. It's just a lot of social unspoken rules, it seems. You would think something like this would be considered, I don't know, somewhat of an emergency. Yeah. Some sort of a mitigating factor where you'd be like, my friend is pregnant by her husband. Congratulations, you two. I'll figure out what I'm gonna do about this ticket or whatever, or look, you know, end of the day, hey, I'm gonna still need some money back for this ticket because I can't get my money back or something. I could even understand that, but I am rooting for you two, and hey, we'll still be in my wedding. I'll see you there. Man, she really was on some, like, how convenient, like, you were always looking for an excuse. Wow.
Right, because probably from the beginning she probably figured out that she didn't want to go. She probably figured out that she was making excuses about not having the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, from her perspective, and a lot of this boils back down to weddings give some women the quote unquote right just to be an ass to everybody around them and justify it because of wedding stress. No. You're just an ass. You're just an ass. There's a lot of people that have weddings and they're not ass to people. They're very understanding. They work with people. They're not over the top or overbearing. They're not dictators to everybody, you know, but for a lot of women, it's this pressure that this is my day and nothing should go wrong on my day and everything should be revolving around me because it's my day. Okay. That's nice, but you do know that life goes on after this wedding, and so these people that you're falling out with, these relationships are going to end for the fact that you don't know how to talk to people.
So after that happened, she got a long text message saying that not only would I not be a bridesmaid anymore, but that I shouldn't come to the wedding at all. All I could say was okay. It felt like a chunk of my heart was ripped out. My throat felt dry. I cried in the restroom at work. I had a miscarriage less than 2 months later. Oh, to which I'm sure Maddie was like, well, bitch, you could have made it. I mean, why you should have just went to the trip. When I was almost 4 months pregnant, I went to see a therapist to deal with what I was going through. I told everything and my stress at work, the miscarriage, losing a close friend. She suggested I take a break, and my husband surprised me with a trip to Florida to get some sun and relax. And then Maddie was like, oh, so you went to Florida. I know bitch, you went to Florida where the Zika is, but you couldn't make it to Brazil, and I paid for the trip. See, this is what I'm talking about. A month after my miscarriage and a week before the trip to Florida, Maddie emailed me. It was the first I heard from her since she asked me not to be a bridesmaid. She said that if I didn't pay her for the flight she bought me, she'd take me to court. The ticket was about $300 and I didn't have the money. I had started a new job and hadn't got my first paycheck yet, and that wouldn't happen until after I got back from Florida with my husband. I decided to tell Maddie everything about my anxiety, depression, and the miscarriage and the money I was spending on therapists. Ooh, baby, you waste your time.
She
I thought she had sympathy for me, that we reconciled, and she'd be there for me. Ooh. Oh, that's how they get you. It was a complete opposite. She sent me a long email back saying she basically didn't care how I felt. She accused me of lying about my pregnancy to get out of bachelorette party.
Right. It sounded like she was like, you making excuses not to fucking go.
She said, I care more about going to Florida than I ever did about her bachelorette party, and I was a bad friend. I realized fighting with her wasn't going to lead anywhere. I sent her an email saying I understood she was going through a stressful time and wasn't acting like herself. I said I'd pay her when I got my next paycheck, and that after that, I didn't want to talk to her again. I lost my mental stability for a while. I still don't know why she acted this way. All I know is she never was a real friend, and I'm glad she's out of my life for good, or blocked from all my social media at least.
Yeah, I think sometimes people realize that y'all not friends with these people.
Oh, for sure. Adult friendship is difficult.
Yeah. It really truly is.
You know, it's funny because when I was a kid, I was like, friendship is kind of easy, but I also just knew that I didn't like or want a lot of people in my life. Mm-mm. It's very complicated, you know. Yes. Like, I just looked at my Facebook today. I have 2,000 quote unquote friends, and I was like, oh man, that is like 1,995 people off. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to call, but people like to call just any and everything a friend. They like to plan things, and everything is cool when things are congruent, when things are parallel, things are going in the same direction. But when you take a moment to say, like if you have a hardship in your life, like, it's not even about the other person. Motherfuckers, I've watched people fall out so many times. Mm-hmm. Now, and because we have social media, you see it in real time, and you see it very publicly a lot of times.
Yes, you do.
And you're like, weren't these motherfuckers like joined at the hip? Am I mistaken? Weren't they like talking every day? They were the greatest. They were the best.
And now it's fuck you, bitch, or fuck you, nigga. Right. Both parties all up and down my timeline.
Right. Now these motherfuckers don't even talk each other no more. It was all up in the videos.
I've seen it happen several times.
But it's not like something where we're 13.
Right.
It's like, nigga, you 50. You act like this? You know what I mean? Like, this how you're 45. You act like this. You're 30. You're 35. You're 25. You act like this.
Mm-hmm.
When do we grow up? When do we say...
But some people never.
An adult situation is, yo, you didn't mean to get pregnant. Hey, I understand, man. Look, maybe we could work out something for this ticket afterwards. But, you know, I love you. Hope everything's good with you and the baby. Still, you know, love to see you at the wedding. And if you can't make the wedding, let me know now, so we don't have to add extra stress to you. Like, because that's another thing people don't talk about is, well, I'm inviting you to something, but it might really not be good for you to go.
Right.
You know, I always, and I've felt this my whole life, but whenever I tell people I don't do weddings, everyone thinks it's everybody but them.
Right.
Well, come to my wedding. No. You know, well, why not? I don't even participate in the social whatever this is. I don't want to get into the social commerce of this wedding structure. I'll send you a nice gift. Is that cool?
We will send you a gift.
We will forever be cool. I'll never take it hard. And yep. But it's not my thing.
Yeah, we won't be cheap because we know we ain't going to go. So we get some right. Good.
I didn't pay for a plane ticket. I didn't fucking order a meal. But I got you, dog. Okay. And I wish you the best. Yeah. But yeah, it's just wild to see how easily people disintegrate a friendship over something where you would think if that's your real friend. As soon as you told her, like, let's say she did get miffed about the whole timing with the Brazil shit. Okay. I still think that's unreasonable, but let's say she still was hurt, felt bad somehow. Once you told her you miscarried and she was like, if you was pregnant, the bitch can die. I would choke the fuck out of her. I would straight up be like, let me just catch her in the parking lot and drive over her. Because fuck that. Who said something that evil? Oh, if you wasn't lying, what? To think I would even need to fucking, like, that's the other thing. This is a big pet peeve of mine. Cause the way my mind works is kind of the opposite of most people's minds when it comes to this. Most people are not important enough to fucking lie to in the first place.
Mm-mm.
Like, if I'm gonna burn a lie, if I'm gonna lie to somebody, I'm gonna lie over some life or death type shit. You know what I mean? If I'm gonna lie, some shit I gotta maintain forever now because I lied to your ass. I gotta remember I fucking made up this fiction. Like, I've now made more work for myself than the fucking truth. I will tell your ass the truth 10 times out of fucking 10 because it ain't that big a deal. I feel totally fine with the actions I take. Ain't no need to be duplicitous about this shit. Oh, well, did you do such? I abso-fucking-lutely did, and I can tell you exactly why. You know, you don't gotta like it, and you ain't gotta be approving of it, but you ain't gotta say I ever lied to your ass. I know that much. If I lose a friendship because I told you the truth, and I don't mean some mean way that most of y'all people, when they talk about telling the truth, the way they really mean is just being an asshole. No, I'm talking about if I just tell you the truth, and the truth is so fucking offensive to you, you're like, all right, we can't even be friends. I understand. I'd rather live in that world than the world where I lie to you so we can be cool on a lie.
And a lot of people function like that.
Yeah, but it's wild that she thought this woman would lie about a whole ass pregnancy because she don't want to really be at your bachelor party or your wedding.
That's okay. She would have told you no up front.
What a crazy... Ooh, that's a lot. All right, last one. Caroline says, Caroline, Emily, and I.
Oh, these are white women, right?
I don't know their races. These are made up names. Nobody, no pictures. Caroline, Emily, and I started working together around the same time at a small company about 2 years ago. And we became close very quickly. In August 2017, and also I don't know that race even matters because I feel like niggas fall out of stupid shit every day.
Yeah, they do.
And not every nigga is raised on the same shit I was.
Mm-mm.
You know, some people is raised around white people and they carry over that kind of like that nastiness of the social interactions and cutting off people and shit real fast. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, that was that was mighty white of you. You know, like, oh, you cut me off real quick, dog. No conversation, none of that. Okay, well, mighty white of you is the colloquial term is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so and when it comes to weddings, like, you could be any race and, I guess, act a fool.
Yes, you can.
Caroline, Emily, and I started working together around the same time at a small company about 2 years ago. And we became close very quickly. In August 2017, Caroline asked Emily and me to be bridesmaids at her wedding the following year. Now see, I don't mean to be mean, but see, that's a telltale sign right there.
We just met you, dog.
We just met you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no friends.
I'll attend, but I, yeah, you know,
it's a lot of pressure for just, we go to lunch 2 times a week. It's a lot of pressure. It's a big step up. And now we got to work together no matter how this wedding goes off. Mm-hmm. Now we gotta come in here on Monday or whatever, whenever you get back from your honeymoon, and hope we straight. Anyway, so we bought our dresses in January. We're getting ready to book flights to hotels to Florida later in 2018, when suddenly I was laid off from my job. I didn't really want to talk to anyone when it happened, but when I didn't show up to work on Monday, I expected my two best friends to reach out.
You was crickets, right? Crickets. Yeah, the only people that realize at your job, the only thing you have in common is that job. Once you leave that job, all relationships for the most part end.
Yeah, a lot of people not, you really, and sometimes you just get fooled because of familiarity, but you don't realize you're not really friends until you,
right,
until you don't have that one thing in common. It's like, well, I'm never gonna see you again,
right? And you don't know them people, honey. People come and go at my job all the time. My feelings are not hurt,
right? Like, if they, you know, if they reach out to me, I pick up the phone, you know. It's not like that, but yeah, you basically just found out y'all not really friends.
No, you're not, but she wants you to spend money on the wedding though.
Mm-hmm. She just need two more people to fill out them dresses,
right?
I expected my two best friends to reach out. Instead, I heard nothing. I texted them in our group chat about 2 days later to let them know I was doing okay and I get through this in time, but just in case they felt weird reaching out to me. That text was also met with silence. They're like, girl, this, the group chat is for workers only. I don't know what you heard, okay,
but you lost your job, that means you ain't got no money.
You need to holler at the unemployment text line group, okay? Because
if we ain't it,
group chat is for people with W-2s, baby. Okay,
come on, or W-9s, whichever one.
I reached out to Caroline directly. I was pretty upset and asked if her silence meant I should return the bridesmaid dress I bought 2 weeks earlier. Several days later, she texted back and said, I just needed the last week to wrap my head around the situation, and I feel it would be best for us to part ways. I'm sorry that it's come to this, but I do need to do what I think is best for me. Emily also reached out to sever ties.
They've been talking to each other. Something happened.
Now see, what did you leave out? How you get, what'd you get fired to work for?
Something happened.
You was laid off or you was stealing? Like, what? Come on, sis.
something. Yeah, it's more to this story than meets the eye.
You was in there grabbing dicks, like what? Why they need to let you, why they feel, both of them, even the one that ain't even, it's not even her wedding, was like, why you stop texting us, we not friends. Now I'm starting to get, this is the only one I'm really suspicious of
you.
Like this third story,
sounds suspect.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. Y'all think, does this sound like on the up and up or something?
Mm-mm.
Our company said that if we maintain friendships with you, they would fire us too, because legally we are not allowed to contact you. I called the bridal store. The dress was the final sale. Oh man. I sent Caroline a Venmo request for the call. She paid me for it. Well, shit then. You straight.
What is you complaining about?
Why'd you even write in? I said a gift for her shower to be polite, and in case she wanted an opportunity to reopen the door, I got a nice gift. I got a notice the gift was returned. Girl, you sure it was just laid off? You sure that's all it was?
She did something. She had to do something.
Like, would you get laid off of talking shit about people or something? Like, I don't know. I still don't know why things played out the way they did. That text was all I heard from Caroline. I think she felt it would be too awkward to have me in her wedding and too awkward to be friends after cutting those ties. I haven't heard from her since she paid me back for the bridesmaid dress. Taylor, 25.
Mm-mm. Something happened. You leaving something out of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Whatever reason you got fired, they was like, no, she can't be there.
Yeah, they walked in like, girl, did you hear Lisa was in here grabbing balls? Yeah, they fired her. She was grabbing everybody balls. Yes. Yeah, I don't know how she gonna come into work.
Embezzling money? You doing something, baby.
Oh, no, Lisa's supposed to be my bridal party. Oh, well, I wouldn't let her do that. She gonna grab everybody balls at the party, girl. You need to talk to her.
Send her money back for that dress, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So we ain't got no reason to have a contact. Because that's why she sent you the money. She wanted to break off all ties. She was like, look, here's your money back. Mm-hmm. So I ain't got to hear your mouth. And they probably realized that you sent that to kind of keep that connection or feel some form of obligation. So that, no, send it back.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, we want her to know this relationship is officially over. So there's more to this story than you telling us, baby.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me go to the next session because we're about to get cut off at the 2-hour mark. Be right back, chat room. No problem.
I don't believe it was that good and dry.
Yeah, something was up with that last story. Her story felt like it left out some pretty critical details.
Some real big details, like why you got fired.
Y'all was best friends at work. You got laid off, and they went from that sad to don't even talk to me, bitch. That's a lot. Hey, nigga, stop calling me. There's a whole lot, okay?
For somebody to get to that point, something has happened.
Yeah. I need you to do some math on this.
But something happened.
Yeah, somebody lying, okay?
Somebody ain't telling the truth.
A goddamn lie. All right, the other two, though, I feel bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. All right, let's do some fucking with black people. Have something else to do at 5. So here we go. Oh, wait, what did I say? Fuck with black people? I meant guess the race. I said fuck with black people, but I meant let's play guess the race.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time.
Ba-da-bum.
That's right, it's time to play guess the race. The number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everybody playing is racist. All right. 5 people have been charged with trafficking $73 million in fake Air Jordan sneakers.
Good God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fake shoes.
Yep. 5 people were charged with trafficking counterfeit Nike Air Jordan sneakers and face a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison for the alleged sale of over $70 million in fake shoes. On Tuesday, Aaron Katersky of ABC News reported that Miyuki Suyin, Jin Min Huang, Sunhwa Ku, Kid Lee Chuyin, and Fangrang Ku were charged after investigators completed an 8-month probe that included the inspection of almost 27,000 pairs of footwear.
Woo!
These five individuals are alleged to have been part of a large-scale counterfeiting scheme importing nearly 500,000 pairs of knockoff Nike sneakers. The Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent in Charge, Angel M. Melendez, said, "These counterfeiting networks can be both detrimental to our economy and threaten our national security, and HSI will continue to take every measure in investigating and dismantling these organizations." Guess the race.
Oh, all of them sound like they're doing voice acting for anime.
So, American?
No.
Oh, you mean for
the Chinese part.
The subtitle, not mm-hmm. the dub? Okay, all right. And that's Japanese. Anyway.
My bad.
Chun-Li, bootleg hypebeast Asian, Chinese Asian, Black China Asian, Chun-Li Asian, Sesame Chicken Ones, Sesame Chicken Ones. Five wings with fried chefs. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Asian. The correct answer is Asian. Everybody was right. I don't have their picture, just, you know. Come on, guys. All right, let's do another one. A Florida man threatened to blow up a woman's house because she turned him down for sex, thereby solidifying she made the right choice.
Right?
Yep, that's how it goes. A Florida man's been arrested for threatening to blow up a woman's house after she turned down his proposition for a sexual encounter. Maybe that's what happened to the three little pigs. That's a missing part of that story. I will blow up your house. Let me in, piggies.
Yeah, I know. Fuck it. I ain't got enough wins. So I just blow the bitch up.
The Miami Herald reports the 41-year-old Florida Keys resident Nicholas Kevin Chu was arrested for sending a threatening text message to a woman who was a friend of Chu's girlfriend. This nigga, what? He got a girlfriend? And then he's like, I want to have sex with you, my friend, my girlfriend's friend. You say no, I will blow your house up. What is going on with you, sir? According to police, Chu asked the 37-year-old woman to have sex with him. She refused while asking him if he knew that she was a lesbian. He eventually responded, texting her back, I will blow your fucking house up. What? How is that your game? Is that your Mac game?
Probably is.
Hey girl, when you gonna let me come over there and smash them cakes with smithereens? No. And I don't you know I'm a lesbian? I will blow your motherfucking house up. Extra no? With a side of extra no plus calling the cops? The woman then called the police and told them she was scared to return home because of the threat that Chu made to destroy her home. Chu subsequently told police that the threat was merely a joke and a misunderstanding. You know how sometimes you joke with having sex with a woman and she says, I don't want to have sex with you. So then you threaten her life. Oh, good times. We've all been there, right, guys? So funny for both parties. So hilarious. Oh, I'm sure we all have tons of stories going all the way back of just those times when you're like, I don't want to have sex with you. And then the man turns around and says, I will skin you like a pig. And you just like, oh, my God, you're so crazy. Now I'm going to give you some pussy. Oh, my God.
No.
You know, I just love a funny man.
Mm-mm.
Chu was arrested on felony charge of committing written threats to kill or do bodily injury. Guess the race.
Going by that name.
Nicholas Kevin Chu.
Nicholas Kevin Chu. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this before, Japanese, Chinese, Asian.
Karen's going Asian. Let's go to the chat room, see what they believe.
Okay, hold on. But hold on.
Karen forgot to ask.
It didn't post, my bad.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me see. I've read some of them. Chu and crew, black. Dick to bomb, black. Blasian. Nice try, Charlene. Blow you up to your girl like an army grenade. Asian, white. Three question marks for white. Blasian. He has a Best Buy shirt hanging somewhere. Black. Three names. White says take pretty smart. With the white man, we can make anything possible. Go see Black Klansman. I liked it. Arab, mm-hmm. white, chopstick, Asian. Brew cook cousin, I don't know what that means. does anybody know what that one means? Anyway, the correct answer is, and I think only one person got it, he was a white man. So most of y'all missed it, but Miss Smart was the one who got it right. Well, it seemed like more than three people, a couple people got it, but yeah, three names. That's what Miss Smart said. Three names is a dead giveaway for a white man. Mm-hmm. And Chew was spelled C-H-E-W.
Okay.
Not C-H-U, which you could have asked, but you did not. Gotta use all the context clues, Karen. All the rules. So now you are 1-1. Let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race for the bonus round against the race. So far, we are 1-1 with Karen, okay? Most of the chat room is as well. Let's see how they do in the bonus round.
Yeah, because I was thinking of wrong too.
Travel agency owner is arrested in Essence Fest vacation scams. Nikissia Washington, owner of OBL Travel LLC, the Jefferson Parish travel agency, accused of bilking several dozen 2018 Essence Festival attendees out of tens of thousands of dollars for vacation packages she didn't deliver, has been arrested by the sheriff's office.
What?
Washington, 41, of Harvey, was booked August 2nd with theft of more than $25,000, theft value between $5,000 and $24,999, and two counts of computer fraud, said Lieutenant Jason Rivard, spokesman for the sheriff's office. Computer fraud is also a much lesser known hit of Roger and Zap. Computer fraud. Also, another hit of theirs was I Wanna Be Your Scam. I wanna be your scam. Shoo-wee-doo-wop,
I want your money.
Give me your money. The charges stem from two complaints filed by a group of family and friends traveling to the 2018 Essence Music Fest from Philadelphia and Nashville, woman who worked with Washington's company to arrange travel for about 25 would-be attendees. Investigators expect Washington will face more criminal charges, Rivard said. Thus far, the sheriff's office has received complaints about several dozen OBL customers who have been expecting hotel reservations, party passes, and tickets to the popular July 4th weekend music festival. Detectives estimate the reported losses of about $80,000, according to Rivard.
Ooh.
We expect the number of cases and the monetary losses to grow as additional cases come in, said Rivard, who noted the sheriff's office is investigating with the assistance of the FBI.
Oh, she could go in jail forever.
The Washington was released Sunday from Jefferson Parish Correctional Center in Grenada on $45,000 bond. Well, I guess she had it, right? She did not return telephone calls or email seeking comment on Wednesday. Martine Buchanan, in the Nashville area travel agent, who reported losing more than $31,000 to Washington, paid by 25 women who were to take a girls trip to New Orleans for Essence Fest. Buchanan signed a contract with OBL Travel and began sending payments for the women's hotel reservations August 31st. But Buchanan became alarmed when a sales manager from Omni Royal Orleans Hotel in the French Quarter contacted her on June 20th, about 2 weeks before Essence Fest, and told her that the group's reservations had been canceled for non-payment.
Wow!
They got fan con. Washington had given the hotel about $8,000 to hold rooms for travelers, but still owed them $14,000 and hadn't returned Omni staffers' calls about the balance. Nikissia claimed that she had a heart attack. It kept her from doing what she needed to do, Buchanan said in a telephone call Wednesday. Why? But then you would have called someone and said, hey, I had a heart attack. Unless you, did you spend the money on the heart attack?
Oh, that money gone.
You have a heart attack when you seen all this money and you were swimming in it like Scrooge McDuck?
Come on.
Washington also told Buchanan that hotel staffers that her bank account had been hacked. And she vowed,
like, that's something you can prove. Like, the bank would be like, hey.
She vowed to pay back the full amount once she was out of the hospital, according to Buchanan. Washington didn't fulfill that promise.
No, because she never got out the hospital.
Oh, I got hacked. But how could hacking a bank account get your money, though? Like, what is, you think it's hacking like a movie? That's not how that works. Mm-mm. Like, if you hack somebody's login to their bank account, it's still so many steps before you can get some money. Like, it's a whole, like, you can't just...
The bank put shit on hold? It's a lot of shit that happens.
Yeah, it's not like the shit you see on TV where it's like, transfer the funds.
They got a whole department that takes 7 to 10 business days to investigate. Come on.
Transfer the funds to the Cayman account. Enter. The money is sent. The money is sent. Now let my daughter go. It's not how it works. Buchanan's clients paid between $1,092 and $2,208 for vacation packages through OBL based on room occupancy. She said only 11 of the 25 women made a trip to New Orleans, but they had to pay out of pocket for Essence concert tickets and their hotel rooms. I have women that entrusted me with their money that they worked hard for. Some of these ladies may not ever use my business again, said Buchanan. Senia El Amin, 24, of New York, and a group of three college and childhood friends each paid $1,092 to OBL to travel to Essence. Washington had been extremely communicative before, during the payment process, and sent invoices with confirmation numbers. I spoke with the Omni Royal Hotel and confirmed that she did have a room block, said El Amin. She also found no negative reviews of the business when she searched online before deciding to go with OBL. I felt like I was doing everything I could to protect myself as a consumer. Apparently not. Mm-mm. I guess you're gonna have some negative reviews now. Don't check that Yelp. Like many other OBL customers, El Amin said she and her friends arrived to find themselves without hotel reservations.
Oh, so they actually, the first group got it through an agent, and the agent used her services. These sound like people that actually paid her directly. Mm-hmm. Which means you didn't have that person in the middle. Mm-hmm. That would be like, hey y'all, don't take this trip. Mm-hmm. So they took the trip, got down there, and was like, oh, we stranded, dog.
Omni staffers provided a smaller room than the group had initially booked, but the friends had to pay an additional $1,000 for accommodations. El Amin hounded Washington, who finally provided Essence Fest concert tickets, but the friends were not seated together and they were shorted a ticket on Saturday night. Washington gave the friends the same hacked account explanation that she provided Buchanan, but El Amin was skeptical. Both Buchanan and El Amin said they were glad to hear of Washington's arrest, but they and the other victims really want the stolen money return.
Right.
El Amin was able to recoup about 60% of her money she paid using Eventbrite, the online ticketing website that Washington used to sell some of the packages. The best chance to recover the money is a restitution order from a judge after conviction, Rivard said. He urged victims to contact the sheriff's office and file a complaint. It really doesn't feel like justice for us, said El Amin, who says she wants to make sure that no one else is duped by OBL travel and Washington is barred from doing business. Despite the fraud accusations and her arrest, it appears Washington is still in the travel business.
What?
Your fave could never. An icon. A scamming genius, okay? She is
out there like Joanne, apparently.
Mm-hmm. She's advertising a 5-day carnival cruise to Mexico with rates of $784 to $1,722 with first deposit due Friday, August 10th. Karen, I don't want to tell you this, but I signed this up.
Shit. So,
and I used all of the live show money for this, so this is all riding on that. But after we get back from the trip, it's going to be on. You say I need to relax. You said I need to take some time for ourselves. We need to treat ourselves and do self-care. So I figured we should take a cruise before we go to do the live show. Mm-mm. With the live show money. Mm-mm. The cruise advertisement.
Well, this is our money then, because we didn't do no GoFundMe. This is our money where the nigga I stab you.
I use the rent, baby. Okay? But it's going to be good. We're going to come back, rest it, and relax.
Mm-mm.
The cruise advertisement.
This will be the last episode of the Blackout Who Tips.
You out of the wedding now then. The cruise advertiser directs those interested in the Powerhouse Connection, another company owned by Washington, according to Louisiana Secretary of State. Yeah, she know them Yelp reviews coming for that first one. Washington is accepting deposits for 2019 as his best vacation packages too.
How is she allowed to do this?
Oh my god, the audacity. I would hope that anyone who wants to travel with OBL would Google them to see that there are all kinds of stories out there now, Elamine warned. Anyone who believes they were victims of fraud, they give you a phone number to call. All right, well, guess the race of Nicasia Washington.
Black.
Karen's gonna go with black. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. FanCon Black worships at the altar of Saint Joanne, the patron saint of scamming. Ain't never known a white person besides the first prayers named Washington trying to get on the mediocre white man fire festival level black. She sells bundles on the side, claims they are human, but they are really synthetic, and she will help you get your credit right. Blizzard Black. The rest of her business comes from trips for FanCon and Tom Joyner Cruises Black.
Oh,
took notes from FanCon dude Black. Joanna the scammer would never be disappointed because she got caught. Black. Oh, would be disappointed. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right, Jackie. The scam for today's black woman, Black. The only accepted money orders for payment, Black. She keep the same energy, Black. HBCU got scammed. Don't call me Auntie Black. Oh, and Black. The correct answer is, and everybody got it, Black. Shout out to all the people that got scammed that's gonna be walking around talking about this is why I don't help black businesses. Cause you know that whenever a black business fuck up, it's always all black businesses is trash now. Oh my god.
Mm-mm-mm. She really thought she was gonna get away with this.
Yeah, I know.
It's not producing.
Mm-hmm. And then she put her stuff back on the internet for next year as it's fast.
Yeah, because people are already buying.
I thought the bitch was white. God damn it! I thought the bitch was white. Fuck.
That's the only way. She gonna get some more money. She gonna have to change her picture to a white woman. Cause girl, no, this
right,
is not it.
Right? Cause I've even heard people already like booking in rooms and all. Like they getting ready for next year already. Some people when they leave, they just book for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I can't even imagine. My god, as soon as she tried to register online,
stop it right now. This is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous. Get out of here. We are adults and this is ridiculous. Cut the crap.
Yeah, Minerva in the chat said, how do you plead? Your Honor, I'm now accepting bookings for Essence Fest 2019.
You want one? Spot's still open.
What a ridiculous thing to do.
Right? And she better hope them women don't ever see her in person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's by the hands on sight. Probably some of the most common people. We were like, bitch, I will beat your ass.
I'll beat your ass. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we know how those women feel if they ever see that woman in person.
Catch me outside. How about that?
On sight. Because that's the thing. She don't know what none of them look like, but they all know what she look like. She better hope they don't ever see her in person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. My reaction is angry, sad, and disappointed.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And people still had to end up spending extra money.
I can't imagine.
Bitch, I would be furious.
Should've watch her back, man. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, on sight. She won't even know what happened, because like I say, they know what she look like. She don't know what they look like. So you making all these arrangements with people that you've never seen.
They gonna do her like the the last scene of Training Day where them niggas caught up with Denzel.
You trying to big and bad.
Oh, you motherfuckers.
It's not gonna end well, babe.
I take out reservations on all your asses. Deposit program.
I cancel reservations right now. Won't nobody be going to Essence.
No refunds. 24/7. New Orleans, nigga.
365.
Y'all never get to see Ralph Tresvant.
I know. SFS ain't got nothing on me.
Shonda Rhimes ain't got shit on me.
Joanne the Scammer ain't got shit on me.
Oh, man.
I'm the best there ever was. She going down in history. She's like, y'all gonna have to make my black ass get off the internet.
FanCon ain't got nothing on me. I put non-refundable deposits on all you niggas.
Yes!
Oh, wait. Why you go? I mean for to go to the next song. All right. A wife arrested for allegedly stabbing her husband with a samurai sword. That's right, it's sword ratchet this time.
Mm-hmm.
Port Orchard, Washington. A Bremerton woman has been charged with second-degree assault after authorities say she stabbed her husband in the arm with a samurai sword. Mm. The Kitsap Sun reports the woman called police early Wednesday and was later flown to a Seattle hospital. The man told police he had been fighting with his wife and demanded that she leave the house. He says the woman grabbed a sword mounted on the wall and impaled him as he ran up to her.
Oh, shit.
According to police, the sword caused a 4-inch wound down to the bone.
Good God.
Bad. The woman first told officers that her husband had cut himself during the struggle, but she later claimed it was self-defense. The woman has pleaded not guilty to the charge. So, yeah, keep a sword in the house, and you never know who it's going to get used on.
Never.
Glad nobody died, but get rid of that sword, man. That's crazy.
Right.
All right, y'all. That's it. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until next time, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah. Mwah.